service is where you get to have the good time. So, you know, I see that, and that excites me because I don't want to sit down on God. Amen. You know, we say he gave me breath.
You woke up this morning.
You know, you look back. I mean, you could you Amen. Walked in on two legs. I don't see anybody in a wheelchair.
Come on.
That's right. I don't see anybody that doesn't have their arms available to be moved.
Come on.
He didn't say make a beautiful noise. He said make a joyful noise.
Come on.
He said restore my my joy.
Yes.
He didn't say give me the joy.
No.
He said restore it.
Yep. Yeah.
So let us shake off the world. I'm not going to even give Satan the benefit of a doubt.
Right.
That little chicken, you may be tired. There's still two realms. Yes.
Yes.
Realistically speaking, shake it off.
Shake that off.
We'll be so quick to listen to that Taylor Swift. Shake it off.
That's dead skin.
Shake it off. You should shake it off. There's no reason that this world should have any bearing on you.
Right.
You should be so strong that you walk in here.
Oh, yes.
You know what, Lord? You know, body? You know what? He said not even cancer can stand
not
in front of you.
Cancer.
You know, I'm sick. But you know what? Devil's a liar.
He's a liar.
And you know what? When the doctor says at the next appointment, thank you, Lord, for my healing.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Because you're not going to take away my promise. Because if you take away my promises, that means I never believed in them.
That's right.
Never believed in them.
That's right.
Because I walk by faith.
Come on. Oh,
I don't just walk by. I don't wait for evidence.
I don't walk by
faith. It's easy to see things.
Come on. Oh.
It's easy to see steps.
Yeah.
But when you walk by faith, you're walking blindly.
Yes.
You're walking by love and understanding.
Trust.
By revelation.
Yes.
You can't walk by seeing things. It's easy to read stuff. But when you see it, that's what I love about that test when I was singing back there. It's like, you know what? Once you know, you know.
Once
you know, you know.
That's
so funny because once you see that test, that question will never trip you up again.
Never again.
Never trip you up. If it trips you up, it's because you let it.
That's right.
Because you made a conscious decision. So we're in here like, oh, Lord, I love that. I love our testimonies are so bright because, well, Lord, pray for me. I'm struggling. You could get up here sick as can be, mask on. I'm more than a conqueror.
That's right.
I didn't hear nothing negative out of that. I was back there. I was like, somebody needs to hold my meal, as in my child. Somebody's got to hold him. But I have a job to do. This is my time. This is where this is the easiest part.
Yes.
This is the easiest time that you get to get up amongst believers.
Yes.
Amongst brethren and sisters in Christ, where you can say, you know what? I'm one of them. I made it through the door one more time.
Yes.
Amen. I'm more than a conqueror. If you can't talk boldly in here, you can't talk boldly out there.
Right.
You can't talk. You got to talk a big game in here.
Mm.
But eventually, that game's got to become an action.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to come in action. He's talking, well, God bless your brother and sister. I'm out there looking trifling. I got a kick out of it because Michelle, she was getting food and she was wanting to go to the drive-thru. She's wearing a dress. I'm like, oh, why are you ashamed? She's like, you know what? She had two options. She could have went to the drive-thru and held on to her thinking, or you could drop it. It's return. It's not difficult.
Right.
It's not something that you have to make it complicated or convoluted.
Right.
It's a matter of like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That's it. Dropping my thinking.
Sure.
I love the fact I have one more opportunity to come in here, knock that rust off, get that order, and keep on going.
That's
so,
right.
Lord, thank you for an opportunity I can come in here one more time. One more time. Say I'm one of them.
This could be the last
one. One more time. Yes, because I'm going to praise God like it's the last time.
Yes, right.
That's how it is.
Yeah.
So, Every Lord, service. Thank you for revelation.
Yes.
Thank you so much for this day and age.
Amen.
For
Amen.
A sound mind.
Amen.
That you're not torn. That you're not confused.
Amen.
That you studied for the test, and guess what?
Yes.
You passed.
Amen.
You passed.
Yes.
Worried about those ACTs, those SATs, those college admitting tests.
Amen.
You passed.
Yeah.
The rest of it's easy. You'll learn as you go. You'll
Amen.
Change as you go. We're always changing.
Oh, yeah.
We've changed as the body so fast.
Mine.
Now it's like, oh, yeah, you're
Instant.
Right. Absolutely. There's so much garbage I've left underneath these pews. Well, I feel bad for the people in the chair. But, Lord, thank you for revelation. Lord, thank you for just such a simple revelation.
Yes.
That it's just it's such like, you know what? I am one of them. I'm going to put it in God's hands. And I'm not going to even worry about it.
Not That's right. At
thank
all.
You.
Not at all.
Amen. God bless you, sis.
Grateful to be here one more time.
Amen.
I
I'm grateful for the Lord, especially because he brought me through. My boss was gracious enough to let me go have a procedure this morning. I was a little concerned. I said, you know, Lord, I have work to do at work. I can't take off all day. I've got to feel good enough to go back into work and complete what I need to get done so that I can go get my kids from school. Because, you know, life kind of works like that. And I was a little worried. I talked to my husband. I'm like, you know, I'm a little scared. You know, I don't want this to be like the last time, because the last time they didn't fix it very well. Everything went perfect. Everything went perfect. They said everything's fine. I have to go back a couple more times in the next couple days and a couple days after for a minute and have different procedures done. But everything's progressing really well.
Yes.
I'm not scared. I realized God had me. I was just worried about feeling the pain. Because even though I have a high tolerance for pain, I don't want to have to go. Nobody wants to hurt. I mean, you know. It's just one of those things. I'll meet any way you want. And he just brought me through that. And he brought me to a place where the people were really kind. They were really compassionate. They went out of their way. You know, they helped me through it. I didn't do anything bad, and it was good. So, I was able to get back to work. I was able to get my work done. I'm getting a lot of progress made as far as the things that need to be done that were looking kind of daunting. Because, you know, when you're waiting for moving pieces to come into play in anything, you know, and God's been blessing us with a home.
Amen.
You know, with moving things together to get things we need done for the home. And so, I mean, he's just been so great to me, great to my family. He's been keeping me. I appreciate all your prayers, because I keep, you know, I'm saying, you know, pray for us, because, you know, like you all, you know, I pray for you guys, brothers and sisters in the ministry, because we all need it. We all, you know, it does not hurt to give that extra, that extra piece, you know, that we have to each other and uplift and hold it up, because we don't know what we're all going through. And
right.
I'm grateful for all of you, you know, the ones that have reached out to me and that have been there.
Amen.
And so I'm just going to call out that, you know, before the insurance I have runs out, that I'm going to figure out a way to go the path God needs me to go, so that I continue to have some sort of health insurance that I can afford, so that I can finish getting my health taken care of.
Come on.
And I know that he's going to move on it, because he's moved on the other things that I didn't think there was any chance
Come
was going
to
happen. You know, and he's already proved himself. So this is small. This
That's
is small potatoes in the grand scheme of things.
Yes.
So I'm just grateful to be here.
Amen.
I just have one thing really that's on my heart, that's been on my heart this week. And you know how we hear all the time that don't play the shell game? You know, Brother Childers started, I guess it was Brother Childers started, don't play the shell game. For people that don't know what a shell game is it's a ball under one of them. And then it keeps moving. And then you try to guess which one it was. Well, Brother Childers was telling us, in essence, don't play the shell game with me. You know, what I say is what I mean. You know, and I've been heard it, but this week I got a revelation on it. Because the same person that you're playing the shell game with, that told you something, it's the same God.
That's right.
It's only one God.
Yeah.
So there's no need to play the shell game. Is it man? Is it God? Is it man? Is it God? It's only one God. That word came through that man's mouth. Is God's word coming to you?
That's it.
Right.
And I was like, man, that is so simple.
Just receive it.
That is just as simple as it could be. It's one voice.
Amen. Amen.
And once we get that one voice, and he said, my sheep will hear my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. So you can't be deceived.
Right.
You hear that one voice, and you follow that voice. And I was just so amazed to have that revelation. I've heard it and applied, you know, thought I was applying it. But until the revelation hits you, that it's that one voice, that God talking to you personally. You don't have to play the shell game. Well, oh, I think it's God today. I think it's man now. I think it's God. No, it's totally God. It's one voice.
Amen.
Yeah.
So
Amen.
I just want to thank God for that.
Amen.
Let me jump in here real quick before he cuts it off. You know, I'm thankful to be who I am. You know, one time I was a predestinated seed of God, but not now. Not now. I'm a manifested son of God. There's a difference. You know, I mean, this is different. You know, this is not church normal. We know what we're talking about here. We're full maturity, knowing who we are. You know, Satan has no hold on us at all. At all. And I like saying that. Couldn't say it enough. But it's by his grace, by what he has revealed in this day. He's given us an understanding. You've only got as much God as you've got understanding. You know, Brother Childers said, you only got as much God as you got revelation. And so I'm thankful for the revelation, thankful that it's come so strong, and it's gotten to us, got us to a place where we know what it is. We can see him face to face. There's no more glass darkly. There's no more guesswork. There's no more wrestling with Satan, with a struggling nature. I don't struggle. You know, I say that and I think, well, maybe I'm looking at something wrong. But no, I really don't struggle on anything at all. You know, and I think, I should struggle about something, shouldn't I? No, that's not the Bible. That's not the Word. You know, the Word don't allow for that at all. And, you know, I walk by faith. You know, it's one thing he's looking for. Your faith in his Word. That's the only thing that perks his ears up. It's the only thing that turns his head. That's the only thing he's looking for. He said, when I come back, will I find faith? You know, will I find faith? Will I find somebody believing my Word? And, you know, so I refuse anything else.
Amen.
I really do. You know, I try to be strong. I try to be healthy. You know, I was thinking the other day, you know, I'm caffeine-free. I'm sugar-free, almost. I'm alcohol-free. I'm nicotine-free. And in the spiritual, I'm condemnation-free.
That's right. That's
absolutely
right.
No condemnation. I've kicked the habit.
Amen.
I will no more come into condemnation. Amen. He has set me free.
Yes.
And, you know, I couldn't speak bold enough. I was sitting there. I was driving up to Pickwood today and didn't have my helper with me, so I'd sit there, you know how you do when you're alone, and I just sit talking, having a real good conversation with the Lord, you know, and just talking about how strong I really am, you know, and it's only by his grace. I'm not boasting in myself. It's what he's revealed to me, you know, and he talks with me, he walks with me, he tells me I'm his own, and nobody knows what's going on here in me. You know, and unless I say something, y'all don't know what's going on. You can maybe get a glimpse, maybe identify a little bit, but you don't know what's going on behind these scenes here. And you know, I'm thankful for that, and it's made me bold. It's made me free. You know, I heard something on the radio the other day. You know, poor people, they want equality. Yeah. Rich people just want freedom. Yeah. Just leave me alone. I've worked for what I got. Don't try to
Amen.
Get in my pocket, you know. I'm rich.
Yeah.
I'm rich, and I'm enjoying this freedom. You know, and I was thinking about that song, you know, if my brother don't go, you know, and Brother Moore all the time talking, he said, you know, I'm not waiting for you. You know, you catch up if you can. But, you know, the Lord told him one time, he said, you can't herd everybody together. It's like herding chickens or cats. Amen. You know, it ain't going to work. You lead. Sheep will follow.
That's right.
You don't drive sheep. You drive cattle. You just lead sheep, and they will follow. They hear your voice and follow.
Amen.
And, you know, I'm thankful it's that way because I've heard that voice
Amen.
For quite a while now, and Amen. I've followed, and he's led me, and I've grown in the grace and the knowledge of him. You know, this is a progressive thing.
Yes.
I went by, on the way up here to Pickwell, I went by a grove of pin oak, and Brother Moore, or Brother Schiller's, Brother Branham talked about the pin oak. How that life hangs on, you know, and they were full of leaves. They were all dead, dried up, but they don't fall off until that new life in the spring pushes it out. And we look at our life and we think, yeah, but you just wait.
Oh, yeah.
That life will push everything out and needs to be gone. It'll manifest. And I'm thankful for that because, you know, I see us in all different levels. I'm, you know, not where I should be, but I'm sure not where I was. And, you know, and I just enjoy the walk.
Yes.
When I was quite young, I thought, Lord, I can't get all this. It's too much. I'm not a big reader. I think by that time, I probably read two books in my life. I've read a lot more since then, but I said, this ain't going to work. You're going to have to do something. So I said, Lord, you just bring whatever I need in the hour that I need it.
Yes.
And I'll trust you to do that. And he has done that.
He has done it.
All the way through.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's his word. He said he would lead. He said we walk by faith.
Yes.
And I have faith in that word more than anything this life has to hold. It's the only thing that's real. It's the only absolute that I have.
That's right.
And it's an absolute that's so beyond. The more I look at it, the greater, the bigger, the more deep it gets. Yeah. You know, I feel like I haven't even scratched the surface of this. And then Brother Ram talking about we learn more even on the other side. And I thought, well, how in the world are you ever going to understand the eternal God?
My.
It'll take eternity to even for him to reveal himself.
My goodness.
But I'm thankful that I see what he's revealed for this day.
Oh, yeah.
And it's more than enough.
Yeah.
More than enough.
Amen.
The devil or life, come what may,
yeah.
You know, I'll stand strong. I'll stand tall. I believe the word above everything. I've made up my mind.
Made up.
You know, I've always said the way to defeat the battle of the mind is have a made up mind.
Right.
It's no battle. You've got a made up mind. It's the word of God, you know, in my life. And that's what's leading me.
Amen.
I'm thankful. Amen.
Amen. Sister Judy, God bless you. You'll be the last one.
I just wanted to thank God. I wanted to get up and I wanted to give him praise for touching my body.
Oh, yes.
I had a fall today. I didn't tell my family, but it was a pretty bad one. Not a bruise. There was one about this big. I rubbed my knee. I said, Lord, you take that away.
Amen.
Not a bruise. I praise God for that.
Amen.
He's always so good to me. It's
yes.
I don't know. As I've gotten older, I feel clumsy, you know. So I'm going to have to watch myself more, I guess. But, you know, I am.
Amen.
I'm sorry for being tearful, but you know what? God's done a lot for me.
Yes.
So I have to praise him for what he's done for me because
Amen.
He's done
Sister
it
Judy.
All. It's not been me. I didn't give myself this revelation.
Right.
God gave me this revelation.
That's exactly
I'm
right.
his seed.
Amen.
And not everyone is his seed.
That's right.
You know? So that's a privilege to be a seed of God.
Yes.
And to know who we are.
Oh, my.
And to walk this walk. And to walk the walk knowing who we are.
Amen.
And handing out blessings. Handing out life.
Oh,
we're angels out there handing out life.
That's right.
And I praise God for that. I just wanted to thank him. I wanted to praise him for watching over me. Taking care of my clumsiness.
Amen.
Healing my body. He has healed me in so many ways. And I'm telling you, when I come in here and I sit down, that's where I get my healing.
Yes.
That's where I get my healing every time.
He meets you right there.
And I don't want to sit on God and just,
Amen.
You know, accept, you know, whatever comes,
right.
you know, or
right.
or the way I want to put it is when he heals me and he touches my body, I want to thank him for that.
Amen.
Because he did that. And so I was
Amen.
Sitting back there and it was so funny because, you know, I thought, well, I'm not going to get up. My little granddaughter looked at me and she said, Mimi, I'm like, you know what? You're right. You're right. I should give God praise
Amen.
For what he did for me today. Don't just sit back there
right.
and, you know, not give him praise.
Right.
You know, because actually, you know, I was in McDonald's, went in there to get some drinks, to get some food, and they had mopped the floor and right over by the drinks, and I just slid, went down on my knees, you know, my wrist, and you know, it hurt. It really, really hurt. And so I thought, well, you know, there's a lot of embarrassment that comes with a fall.
Oh, man.
You know, you get up, you look around, you're embarrassed, and it's like, how stupid I must look sitting here on this floor.
Oh, no.
Get up, Judy. Get up. You know, I was in pain. I was hurting.
Amen, amen.
But I got up and I walked out there. I'm like nothing happened. Walked out there, got in the car, like nothing happened. Sit back there, looked at my knee. It's about this big. There was a spot on my knee. And I just started rubbing my knee. And I said, Lord, take that away.
Amen.
I don't want anything to be wrong with my knee.
No. You're
not
here.
A spot.
Amen.
Not a spot.
Amen.
So, you know, God heals. God heals in many, many ways.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm still expecting more healing. I'm expecting God to touch my body. I'm expecting God to touch Sister Moore's eyes. I'm expecting God to touch Anna's eyes. One of these days, Anna's going to see. I believe that, Brother Deskins. I believe that one of these days. Absolutely. We're gonna get our healing that
right.
we need.
That's
All
right.
of us is gonna get our healing.
It'll be correct.
Like your sister Nan and John, and I mean, God is real.
He's real.
He's real.
Come on.
He's moving
Amen.
In this body.
Amen. Amen.
And I can never praise Him enough, Sister Crystal. Like you got up here, you know that was beautiful. Amen. I enjoyed that so much. I enjoy real. Amen. You know, real. Be real about it because it's real
Amen.
To us. You know, we know who we are. We know that we're His seed. We know that we're
Amen.
His. And I don't know. You know, I'm so full and so thankful for that.
Amen.
And I just wish.
Yes.
You know, I just want people to see it.
Yeah.
You know, if you know, I just want,
yeah.
I see it. It's so beautiful.
It is.
And so amazing.
Yes.
I just love you guys. I love every one of you. And,
Amen.
You know, I can speak on every one of you. Every
Amen.
One of you. How much I love you guys.
God bless you, Sister Judy. I appreciate the testimonies. You know, I'm grateful for my healing, too. You know, I had a wisdom tooth pulled out and all kinds of beyond crazy. And, you know, it takes a lot to have a $1 million smile, you know. So, yeah. I'm just
That's
grateful.
Right.
And just stay tuned to the announcements and stuff. 30th to the 31st, we're going to Kentucky. Church is leaving at 9 a.m. Men's Fellowship, April 27th. We got a Women's Fellowship on the 1st of June. And right now, Pastor Moore is over at Fred Mullen, so we'll pray for him. Keep him in your thoughts
Amen.
As they make their way back home. And let's just go ahead and sing 204, You Deserve the Glory, Key of A. And we'll get him up. God bless you guys.
You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship. The glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name, for you
You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like. One last time. For you.
Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to get together tonight and just fellowship around your word. Lord, bless the hearing and the speakers to get out of the way to just enjoy this moment of time that we get to fellowship. Remember the prayer requests that are spoken and unspoken. Lord, thank you for the believers that are gathered here to just worship in your word. Lord, bless those that are traveling. Bless those that may be under the weather. Bless the believers all around the world, Lord. Bless the service tonight. Help us to do things that are going to be able to edify you and just magnify your name that much more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated.
I'm glad to be here tonight. Some people may say you say that all the time because I mean it. I mean it. I'm very excited about the upcoming stuff that we got. We got Easter. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to hearing the report from Pastor Moore, what's going on there. I'm looking forward to the brothers' fellowships. Got a lot of stuff to look forward to. But before I can get to that, I got to do this. Oh, we got to have Wednesday night service, and then I can go to all that other stuff. So I'm excited to preach to you guys, as always. I'm always excited about whenever God puts something on our hearts to bring. I come, you know, like the Bible says, I don't come with excellence of speech. We didn't go to any doctor of divinity. I don't have some idea what God is. He's been personally revealed to me. And then I come and share my knowledge of the mystery. And it's a personal thing that I know is true. So I'm not even trying to come here to convince you. I'm just sharing. I'm kind of like, you know, you guys say the story about Pastor Moore with the candy bar. I know I have the goods. That's not in question. The question is whether you want it or not. I know what I have. I know how good it is. I know how beneficial it is. I know what it's done for me. I've seen it fix everything. I've seen it fix everything. I've seen it heal. I've seen it calm. I've seen it give peace. I've seen it give it compassion. I've seen it happen. I've seen it all. I've seen rest when everybody else is in turmoil. I've seen compassion when I should be mad. I've seen peace when I should be upset. I've seen understanding when I should be confused. I've been in light when I should have been in darkness. So this is not a question of whether or not I got the goods. I know I've got the goods. You know, I know what I'm talking about. It's, you know, you talk about different things, and I'm going to get into it. But think about that. I thought, you know, if you got something really nice, and I'm just trying to tell somebody about it. So there's this thing, and, you know, Brother Jim will know this story as well. He'll hear this. But there's a site called BidFCA, okay? You can go there and buy a bunch of used stuff, new stuff, all that kind of stuff. So we got this group chat thing, and I was telling my brothers and my buddies, I'm like, hey, I'm about to go get this fireplace. This thing is like $1,800. And they're like, wow, you're going down to Cincinnati to get it? I'm like, yeah, but I got it for like $100. And they're like, no way. And now I'm driving. I'm headed down there. Like, I'm headed to Cincinnati to go pick it up. And they're like, no way, no way. It can't be real. Can't be real. I get there. I send the picture. I'm like, this thing is real. I'm about to pick this up. Yeah. Oh, man, you should have told me. I wouldn't help you. I would have helped you. Let me know. I'm like, I'm here right now getting it. And they're like, I still don't believe it. Still don't believe it. I get that thing back home, and I'm like, this is what I was telling you about. They're like, wow, I can't believe you got that thing for only $100. I'm like, I done told you. I told you where it was. I told you the website. Told you how much it cost. And now I'm sitting with the goods, and you don't have one. I got the proof that what I was saying is true.
Right.
That's the same how I sit on Wednesday night. I come here with a beautiful marriage. I come here as an excellent father. I come here as a perfect worker. I come here as somebody that has a revelation and understanding of the eighth day. I've been telling you where I go. I've been telling you the website. I've been telling you how you can get this thing, and it comes just for free.
Yes, if you don't have what I have, it ain't because I ain't told you about it. It ain't because I ain't shared it with you. It's because you don't believe me.
That's right. Woo.
Amen. See, we got the goods. I got the goods. I got the goods now.
Yeah.
I know what it is.
Yes.
I've entered into that experience.
Yes.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this, you know. Brother Jeremiah got me excited when he's talking about examining yourself.
Yeah.
You know, even Brother Seth got me excited, too, when he said, when you take that test.
Yeah.
You know, it's something different when you know the answers.
Yes.
Now, we've all been on tests that you don't know the answers.
Yeah, sure.
There's a whole level of anxiety that's just different.
Amen.
You know, I talk about my kids, and, you know, they dip various beliefs in God, how they, you know, different levels. They're kids, you know, they go through high school, dark ages, all that kind of good jazz. But I always get a kick out of it because when my daughter has a big test, she's, hey, Dad, make sure you pray for me. Yeah, yeah, God's real now, ain't he? Yeah, pray for me. Yeah, yeah, but that we all have these different levels of things that we go through. When you're about to go through something that's real that you don't know how to get through, well, hold on, I'm going to need God to step in on this thing. But that's how it is. But now I know what it is. I'm no longer nervous about coming to church. I'm not scared about what God's going to do. I know what he's going to do. So when you talk about examining yourself, oh, I'm excited to show off my pressed uniform, my shiny shoes, my nice haircut, how my weapon is just greased up so perfect. I'm ready to go. See, when you're ready for inspection, now we do the military similarities all the time because I've been in there. I know it. When you're ready, oh, you look ready. Every part of you is ready. You know, sometimes when they walk through, and you guys have probably seen this. Well, I've experienced it. They walk through, and you're holding your weapon, and they do a little thing, and you got to snap it back in place, and they do all that kind of thing. They'll just do a spot check. Every now and again, they'll come up to you and be like, give me your weapon. Now it's got to be real. Now, if you didn't put all the grease that they told you to put, if you didn't clean it like they told you to do it, that guy's got a white glove. Slides his finger across, checks first, opens it up. He's doing all the inspection. You're only nervous if you didn't do all they told you to do.
That's right.
But if you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are dressed right, dressed ready, take it. Take it home with you. Hold it. Do whatever you want. Flip it upside down. Turn it around. Look through the end. Do whatever you want. I know I'm ready.
Yeah.
See, when Brother Jeremiah preaches a message about examining yourself, if you're not in the faith, oh, that'll scare you a little bit. Oh, I don't know if I have it. I don't know if I got it. I don't know if the Holy Ghost has been revealed to me. I don't know if I got a new birth. I'm afraid. Now you examine yourself with fear and trembling.
Yes.
But when you tell me to examine myself, I get excited.
Yes.
Because what I do is I start to think about where he's brought me from to where I am today. Oh, that changes everything.
Yes.
It's a rejoicing time.
Yes.
I start to get excited because I see the change.
Yes.
I'm a manifested son now. Oh, my, I get excited about that. Tonight we're going to preach about that upper room.
Amen.
Because I was even thinking, you know, there's certain reasons that people do things, even with inspections. Like, you know, in the military, they told us to shave our face, and they do that, and it's terrible when they do it. Because you come in there, you might have like a nice goatee, whatever. Everything's got to go. You might have nice hair, they cut it off. Everything's got to go. But you think about it, and I was like, why do we got to shave our face? I was like, they were like, well, at that time, the gas mask that you wear wouldn't seal if you had hair. So it wasn't, they didn't really care about your facial hair. That wasn't really a caring thing. It was for your protection. It's because when we go into a hazardous material and somebody drops a gas bomb and you put that mask on, if you think it's cute to have a beard and that mask ain't sealing, you ain't got time to go get a quick shave. You ain't got time to pull out the razor and do what you gotta do. It's gotta seal. That's why they were so hard on you to make sure you stayed clean all the time. It's because it was for that.
Right.
That's the same thing. We give you advice. We give you guidance. Just do it.
Yeah.
It's going to make it easier because when you go through those tests, you don't got to go back and backtrack and think, oh, am I ready? No, I've been ready. I stay ready. I stay ready. Everything I get in here helps me in advance. God gives me what I need in advance. He doesn't just make a way when I need it. It's been there the whole time.
Amen.
Matter of fact, even when they walked up that mountain, he said, where's the sacrifice, Father? The Lord will provide. The ram was in a bush waiting.
Amen.
Woo! I love what God does.
Yes.
But anyway, let's read about this upper room because this upper room ties into us. And I love it.
You know, because see, the upper room, and we quote it a lot, the upper room experience. But there's a little backstory to it. So that upper room, the disciples had been to an upper room before. I mean, that wasn't the first time they went there. It was a place of refuge. It was a place that you could go to pray, to just meditate and just not think about worldly things. You come in there and just be sovereign, be reverent, and just think about the Lord. Amen. So when they were going to upper room, it wasn't the first time in an upper room. They had been in an upper room before, like that situation. But in this situation, they went there because they were afraid. They were hiding, so to speak. God told them he'd meet them there, and they went there a little bit afraid about what could happen to them. They were in a different time period. Jesus had already left the scene. These are key points here. Jesus was not there in the physical. He had already walked off the scene. Now, if you read through the book of Acts, you can see, and even if you go over into John, you talk about how Jesus, his time from after he passed till he went back up, was almost like 30, 40 days is where we get the quote when we say during the rapture it's going to be 30, 40 days. That was Jesus' time period during that period. But enough of that. But let's get over to this, because in the upper room, when you think about that, God had gave him a promise to go there. And a lot of times people just stop at the promises. So there's a couple of scriptures I want to read and get us to make sure we see what happens with most people. So the first one I want to read, let's see, I can go over to it. It was John chapter 20. And we're going to start probably, I want to say verse 19 maybe. I'll go down here through here. 19. Chapter 20. Yeah, here we go. So this is the promise that Jesus had gave them prior to meeting them in the upper room. Okay? He said, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, let me get down to the part, he said. I'm going to start at verse 19, but read through 23. It's a good little thing. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And when the disciples glad, when they saw the Lord, then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they remit unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. That was a promise Jesus had gave them. Amen. That was a promise he had given them. That's the promise. When does it come into manifestation? When did it come into manifestation? He promised them this. Jesus himself said, I'm breathing on you, the Holy Ghost. I'm breathing this on you. This is a promise. Now let's go over to the book of Acts. And let's go to chapter 2. And got a little bit of reading, but we'll get through this thing. It's good to go through these things and kind of understand. Because we know over in Acts 2:38, it talks about being baptized. So that was in there from Sunday, this message as well, and even over Pastor Moore did Victory Day as well. So we're very familiar with the book of Acts. But Acts chapter 2, I'm going to do a little bit of reading here, but it's going to be for the context. And remember, the title is The Upper Room. Yes. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They had met in the upper room. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. That promise was now fulfilled. What was so different then? We got quotes for this over in questions and answer number 4. We'll get to it. But it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And the people go, well, what are the other tongues? And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. They were speaking in all of the languages of everybody there. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Everybody there was from all these different places. And to go through and describe it, it says, and they were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galatians? And how hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?
Parthians and Medes, Amedes, and dwellers in the Mesopotamia, and the Judea, and the Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Perga, Thyatira, Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Syene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes. Then it goes through to keep naming all these places. Like, how are they speaking in our language? And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Here comes some unbelievers. Others mocking, saying, "These are just drunks. These are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out on those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And the sun shall turn into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Another prophecy. What group waited around for the prophecies? What group waited around for the promises? This group. Because when they sat in the upper room, they were there for 10 days. Just waiting. Just waiting and fellowshipping. Now Jesus is off the scene. They've seen wonders. They've seen miracles. They've seen healings. They've seen food lines. They've seen all that. But only 120 people believed all the way until. All the rest of the people, the 5,000 that he fed, the fishes and loaves that he did, they didn't go to the upper room. They got tired of waiting. They didn't believe that it could happen. But there was 120 people that waited upon the Lord to renew their strength. There were people that said, "Didn't he say it would be like this in the last days? Didn't he say he would meet us here?" And they held to the promises of God. They just believed it. It didn't matter if they had to sit there for 20 days, 30 days, 40 days. They didn't know. They didn't say when he was sowing. They said, "When you get there, I'll meet you there." They waited 10 days patiently. Didn't get tired. They stayed in that room for 10 days. They didn't go out. Even Brother Branham talks about it. They stayed in there. We're staying in this upper room experience. Staying in this thing. Not go. You know what? And what I love about it, you know, even ties to Brother Seth. He was talking about, you know, his daughter, but thought about that and said, you know, when they went in that upper room, they were quiet, solemn, just afraid of what's going on out there. Jesus had just been killed. They're like, man, they really hate anybody that likes Jesus. It's really what was going on. Anybody that was following Jesus, they were hunting them down. They were up there afraid. But when they got that revelation, did they run out whispering? No, they ran out screaming. They were no longer ashamed of the gospel. They had something to say. They had a revelation that they had been with God. It didn't matter what come or what goes. They were ready for whatever. See? When you get a revelation, it should change you. You should be different. And it should be from revelation. Because if it's off of emotions, that'll run out. You'll get tired. You'll doubt. You know, just on your own emotions. I don't care if I told you I was picking you up at 5 o'clock and you believe me. On your emotions, 5:15 roll around, you're looking for your phone. Like, maybe run a little late. 5:30, not coming. The next day, I still didn't text you. The next day, I still didn't call you. And you see me on my Facebook. I'm at the gym. I'm walking around. Yeah, like, he said he's coming at 5. 4 days later, 5 days later. 6 days later, 10 days, you would have got tired. You would have said, "I'm not coming." But not those believers. Not the believers. They waited patiently. And I thought about that. I said, I can see why people get tired of waiting on God, because they didn't believe him in the first place. They didn't believe him in the first place. They wouldn't have been ready to go when he showed up. You know, Brother Jeremiah talked about that story at the end of service. He talked about that lady that was waiting for that man. He said, "I'll come back 1 year to the day." All those other people, they were making fun of her. "Oh, he ain't coming back. He ain't coming back." I bet they probably got tired of making fun of her. 6 months into it, they was just like, "You know he ain't coming back." And then they ramped it back up again when he got close to the day. You know it's close to him not coming back for you. You know it's close for him not to show up. I can't wait for that day to come here and pass so you can get back to be a slave girl again and do these dishes and stop talking about how he's coming back for you. Because she was excited. She was ready for a wedding. She was ready to be reunited. She said, all I got is a year to wait. Too easy. That's easy. That's why it don't matter when it's time to get out of here. I'm ready. I'm going to steadfast stay waiting upon the Lord until he comes. I don't have nothing else to do. There is nothing else on my plate. There is nothing else that's more important. This is all I'm waiting for. That's it. I have that revelation that God is coming back for me. That's it. I've seen too much of God to doubt that he's coming back. I've seen him reveal himself too much for me to doubt that he's coming back. Oh, I love it like this. Amen. You know, because, you know, even Brother Branham, and I talk about this, he said, he talked about that over in a paradox. He said, you know, how they were afraid, and then that revelation came, and no more whispering, no more hiding, no more ashamed of the gospel. He said, it's a paradox that before revelation, you're doubting. You're confused. Then you get a revelation, and now you're no longer doubting. You're no longer confused. You're no longer quiet. You're stepping out on that thing. Amen. And I thought about that. I said, have I seen that example? I've seen it in my own life. Right. I've seen it in your life. And like Sister Judy says, when she talks about the miracle, I mean, Sister Judy, before she even gets up, she has to go around miracles to get here. She got to go past her granddaughters that she prayed would be in church with her. She got to go past her daughter who she prayed would sit with her. She got to go past her husband who she prayed for just to get up to the mic to say, Lord, give me another blessing. Give me one more. I know you can do it. This is an easy one. This is an easy one. I had to walk through some ones that I thought could never happen. Lord, just bless me one more time. I look forward to it. I praise him in advance. And then you wonder why I can't take the back seat to the devil. I've seen too much. I know too much. I got to walk around blessings. I got to almost make myself upset. I'd almost have to overlook all the blessings of God just to make myself get upset. I'm surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And here's the thing. I'm not just surrounded by people that don't know what it is. I got support. You know, I heard somebody on the radio say, he said, it's good to be supported. Sometimes people are just surrounded. And I thought about in my time at the hospital, you know, there's a lot of people to come and visit me. You ever there? I had a lot of people around you. You could be surrounded by a lot of people, but not supported by a lot of people. You ever try to carry some groceries in the house and everybody just watches you walk past? You're surrounded by a lot of people, but you ain't supported by a lot of people. If everybody just started grabbing something, you'd be like, well, now I'm supported. I'm supported. That's a big difference. See, sometimes people just want to be surrounded by the word. Don't want to support it. Want to be around this thing. Don't want to give in. Want to be around this thing and don't want to do nothing to chip in. Don't sit here and watch us carry all the groceries. Why don't you grab something? You see the cleaning list? Why don't you do something about it? You see the cutting the grass list? Why don't you do something about it? Praise God, the grass was cut today. I got to see that look good out there. It's dark now. You won't get to see it when you get out there, but it looks nice now. Pastor Moore, appreciate that. This is our house. Yes. Do something. Put something in on this thing. Yeah. That shows that you're pot committed. Yeah. Put something in on it. Yeah. You know, if you get this revelation that we're getting, you're getting this understanding that we're getting, you should be able to put something in it. Yeah. You should be adding something to this thing. Whether it's a testimony, whether it's an amen, whether you grab a flute, whether you hit a drum, where you hit a bongo, where you hold the door, you should be doing something. You go, Brother Jay, come on, come. It ain't enough of us for you to be unemployed.
Come on. Amen.
It's too many jobs to do and too few people. Nobody's allowed to be unemployed in here. Nobody. Nobody's allowed to be unemployed in here. When the kids come out of Sunday school, you know what Pastor Moore tells them to do? You better find something to do. You don't get to come out here and just sit down. That's to the youth. They're just now finding out what it is out here. And he's saying, don't get comfortable. You better figure out what's going on in the sound room. You better grab an instrument. You better start singing a song. You better be a part of testimony. Find something to do. And if that's at their first day at work, what do you think he expects out of you out of year 11, year 12, year 20? You've been in this thing, been getting blessed service after service after service. You ain't got nothing to add to it. I don't think you're putting in. I don't think God's giving you anything. I have reason to doubt it. Come on. I'd have reason to doubt it. When we say inspect yourself and you don't have no God about you at all, right. Come on. Amen. You know, when I was younger, people would tell me, and this is how they disguise their testimonies. I'm telling them myself with this. It's all right. It's family. I'm gonna preserve the names to save, preserve the innocent, or whatever they say. Change the names to preserve the innocent, protect the innocent. But what would happen, what people would do if they're living a terrible life, let me tell you how they switch this up on you. This subtle trick of the devil. It's, you know, I got to meet different people than you meet. Okay, that's true. So I got to go places you can't go. That sounds almost right. But they should say the same thing about you that they say about me. They should see the same God in you that they see in me. I get it. You might have to work at janitorial services in the trash, so to speak, however you want to call the trash. But they should still see the same God in you that you're expecting to see in me. They should have the same testimony about you that they have about me. Don't tell me you got to go different places and then have a different approach and a different example, because we're getting the same teaching. Oh, I got to go to the bars and you can't go. What do they say about you at the bars then? What do they say about you? Do they see God? Do they have a spirit of reverence at all when you come around? Or do you sound like everybody else there? I work at the jail and they all talk different. So I got to talk like they talk. That don't add up. Then I got to act like they act. I got to think like they think. I got to meet people that you can't meet. And that's how that's the trick of the devil. A little sleight of hand. Same little thing he tried to do with Eve. You know, you don't have to say everything. You won't surely die. It's not today. I mean, you might eventually, but see, that's a little sleight of hand. But all you're doing is perverting the word of God. What we get in here is pure. This area is free of the worldly condemnation. This is my refuge. This is the place that I come. This is my upper room. Don't try to mess this up. If you're bad, just be honest. This is the only place that you can be honest, and I'm not judging it.
Amen.
If you've got a problem, just admit it. If you've got shortcomings, that's okay. There's still two parts of me that need to get fixed. And they got to get annihilated to get fixed. So until I get out of here, I'm going to be dying daily. But if you're walking around here like you're as clean as untouched snow, and you keep just switching your testimony all the time, all the time, I'm starting to think maybe you're not an upper room experience. I'm starting to think that maybe you got tired of waiting on the Lord and you changed it up. Because what we get in here is perfect. I want it just how it was brought to me. Don't change a word. Don't change a sentence. Don't add an emphasis. Don't move where the comma is. Don't move where the period is. Just leave it right where it is. What God already said is perfect. Let it be perfect still. Matter of fact, that's even in the Bible. It says, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Where are you lying? Just lie where you're at. Oh, my. See, because when you talk about what we get in here, this is absent. You know, another thing about that upper room, Jesus was off the scene, okay? They had to serve God for themselves. There was no more pressure of mommy and daddy saying this is what we do. There was no pressures of if I keep this up, I can get a spouse. There was no more pressures of I just got some friends there and I don't want to hurt their feelings. There was no pressure of anything. It was you and God for yourself. See, because even over at Brother Brown, they were asking, like, was it all disciples? He said it was 120.
Right.
That's who was there. Don't try to add to, don't try to take it away. There was men and women, 120. Because what they would try to do is try to put a hierarchy in there. You got to be this, you got to be that. No, 120, period. That's what the Bible says. Men and women came running out of there. But I praise God that we get a revelation on even that, that we know how to balance. There's no big I's and little U's. My revelation is not greater than your revelation. Don't let Satan lie to you about that. If you can understand the words that I'm saying, you got a revelation.
Amen.
You're ready for the journey. You've been changed. Because if you haven't been changed, this doesn't make sense to you. Gotta say it.
Amen.
I gotta say it. Gotta say it. Let me go over here another. I got a quote over here. Because the more I look at this, the more I'm just appreciative of what God gives us. Let's go over here, and this is Brother Branham, questions and answer number 4. That was one of Brother Children's favorites. He says, Dear Brother Branham, now this is paragraph 383. Dear Brother Branham, what is the difference when Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, and when they had to go to the upper room to tarry? Where's Brother Branham? It was a promise he gave them. Breathed upon them his promise. Said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. It was a promise. They went to the upper room to wait for the promise to be fulfilled.
Amen.
like to hold my cards until the end. Like, I like to hold that, because I said it at the beginning of the service, and you're going to be like, oh, maybe, maybe, maybe. No, 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 the prophet said it. Said it word for how I said it. I have my 2024 African slang on it, but Brother Branham said it just like I said it, right? Because what happens is you go in through this thing, and you try to separate what God said to make it fit your situation. It's not supposed to work like that. It's what God said that is the situation. If you're wrong, just be wrong. See, because when you examine yourself, if you have a shortcoming, that's the time to fix it. You know, a lot of times people always want to, you know, I want to make sure I say this right. A lot of times people come to God and they think they need to change something for God to accept them. It's like taking a shower. If you're dirty, you don't get in the shower with those clothes on. You take all that off. And then the shower can do what it needs to do. We don't need you to hold on to one tradition. We know it holds on to one idea. Get rid of it all, and then God can take care of you. You don't got to get cleaned up before you get cleaned up. He'll clean up whatever he needs to clean up. He'll take care of whatever he needs to take care of. You just take away all your traditions of what you think it is and step on into this hot water and let it do what it needs to do. This thing will take care of everything. And you know, I like to add emphasis on it because I've seen it take care of everything. I've seen when the word comes across here, it is almost as if it's in tongues because it speaks just to me. I feel like the pastor's just preaching just to me. And I'm sitting beside Brother Don and he's saying, no, but he's just talking just to me. I can understand exactly what he's saying just to me. And right behind him, Brother John and Sister Don are sitting there going, but he's just talking just to me. And then down the aisle a little bit is Dwayne saying, he's talking just to me. And Sister Crystal and Brother Warren back there saying, this is what we talked about. He's talking just to me. It's coming across in unknown tongues to the world, but to each one of us from no matter where we come from, any nation that we go through, it's speaking just to me. No, we're not drunkard. It's only the third hour of the day. We're just filled with the revelation. God has been good to us. He's been revealing his word to us. We're able to see him in us. When we examine ourselves, we see God. Amen. The rest of the world can't see God. They don't. They can't even make themselves equal with God. Right. I'm not even saying it's me and God. I'm saying when you see me, you see God. Yeah. I am the only God that you'll ever see. That's right. We got that so strong that if we run into a bad situation, I'll pray that they get one more chance to make it right with God. I'm hoping that somebody else among the faith comes across their path to help them out. I say, that last interaction didn't go as well as I would hope for them. That doesn't change my destination. It don't even change my day. I hope, I pray that they get another chance. I have compassion. I'm like Jesus. I don't want any man to suffer. See, you get that understanding. Things start to be a little bit different. We've had this upper room experience, no longer ashamed. No longer look at us. We've been baptized. We've been baptized spiritually and physically. You know, because that's important to be baptized. Acts 2:38 says, be baptized. Repent and be baptized. We've been baptized spiritually and physically. You know, and I love even over going to the scripture where it says, what have you done since you believed? What have you done since you believed? You come in here and get a revelation. What have you done since then? It said these things shall follow. These things should follow. See, you know, Brother Jeremiah was talking about how they get the cart before the horse. Sometimes they want the signs and then they want the word. You get the word, all the other stuff will follow. Amen. That the word is what's real. That's what gives me, I get stimulation by revelation. I don't get stimulated and then get a revelation. That's not how this works. I get the revelation. And then it stirs up something on the inside of the inside where I can look at those dry bones and will they speak and say, yes, Lord, you know they can. I get that kind of revelation where, I can look at any situation, and take over it all. But that's what we get in here. You get that revelation from in here. I think we take for granted all the preaching that we get. Do you realize there's not a problem that you have that God can't fix? And I know I'm just reminding you, but I don't want you to go through the week thinking what I have is so big. I don't want you going through the day thinking nobody knows what I'm going through. I don't want you going through this saying nobody knows how hard it is at work. Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? Don't talk like the children of Israel that were coming out of Egypt. No, no, no. Blessed be the name of the Lord that's got this rock following us with water. Thank you, Lord, for bringing food from the sky. Thank you, Lord, for making my shoes never wear out. Thank you, Lord, for making sure my clothes, no matter what size I get, always fit. That's what they had to praise him about. There was one group that saw that and didn't even acknowledge it. Just stepped right over those miracles and kept doubting God. There was another group, Caleb and Joshua, said, God has been with me since my youth. Been with me since my youth. Amen. Oh, my, my, my. You know how much of a blessing it is to even come here and serve God with somebody else that's in your family? Yes. Come on. Come on. It gives you so much more ammunition. Yes. If you've got a friend in this thing, you shouldn't have a bad day. You really shouldn't. And I like to remind us, because this is truly an upper room experience when they were in one mind, in one accord. I want to make sure you got the same mind that I got. That if I'm going through a problem, I know it can be fixed. I know it can be fixed. I don't even doubt that it's going to get fixed. I'm anxious to see how God's going to do it. I said, where are you going to pull from this? How are you going to make this happen? Because even my kids will tell you, I'll run into some things and I'll be like, it's got to come from the sky. I've ran out of all my options that I can do, and it's got to come from the sky. And I don't even say it like I'm giving up. I don't say it like it ain't going to happen. I'm not even saying it like I quit. Like, oh, it's got to come from the sky. I'm saying, it's got to come from the sky. Whole different emphasis. I know God's going to have to move on this situation because I've exhausted everything that I thought I could do. And guess what? It just starts showing up. Just shows up. It's happened so much now. Now when they run into little problems, they're like, it's going to come from the sky. It's going to come from the sky. They don't even know how it's going to happen. I don't have to know how it's going to happen. They just believe. Just like I just believe. I come here with all my isms and schisms and problems, and God just corrects them and fixes them. My mindset will be here. My mindset will be there. I'll be upset about this, unbalanced about that. I come in here, and God just balances it all out. I come into one mind and one accord. I just like to remind us that you got it good. Amen. You got something that if people really knew what it was that you had, they would pay for it. But they don't believe God. You know, and it's one of those things, it's just two groups. It's either you believe God or you don't. You know, a lot of times this world tries to make things gray. Like, well, no, I believe in the presence of a being. I just don't know who it is. I know he's probably doing something, but he's just not helping me. And the whole time their heart's beating, 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 beating. And their brain is working and working. I don't know how it happens, but it just happens. And I'm like, you're walking over blessings. You're speaking. Do you know that you can understand a language? That you have intelligence? That you have an existence? And you see this mathematical equation work out all throughout eternity? All throughout the stars? You see this and you don't think there's a God? Amen. You have to be willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant to step over the fact that God exists. But that's okay for them out there. That kind of doubt is okay out there. But in here, there should be no presence of unbelief. Amen. We can't tolerate one speck of unbelief. Amen. If you come in here and you don't believe the word, you're wasting your own time. Amen. Because guess what God will do? You know what we got to do on those hard to kill bacteria is? You got to turn the heat up even hotter. And that's all that's going to happen. If God senses the presence of unbelief, he's going to start turning that heat up so hot. And everybody else is like, it's getting hot in here. It is hot. It ain't going to kill me off. I can handle it. I can outlast you. You know, he's talking about a fish going in the water. I don't care how deep you want to get. This pressure ain't going to hurt me. Let's keep going. Amen. You want to get hot? Get hot. You want me to examine myself? Let's examine myself. You want me to dress for service? I'll do it. You want me to cut this off? I'll cut it off. But there's somebody there sitting saying, I don't think I have to wear dresses like he's saying. I don't think I got to cut my hair like he's saying. This is just a slight little bit of unbelief. And you know what God will do? He'll come in here in every service. Don't cut your hair. Put on a longer dress. Longer dress. A longer dress. And the whole time. And everybody else is like, my goodness, it's on the floor. It's dragging. A longer dress. A longer dress. A longer dress. And that whole time you're sitting there with your little mini skirt like, why is he preaching about dresses? And the whole time. And then you get up and leave and it's, back to the book of Revelations. That's exactly how it happens.
I've been here long enough to see it. I've seen it on work. I've seen it on racists. I've seen it on people that were racist. And God would just preach that and preach that and preach that. And he'd be like, my goodness, I know you don't have a problem with blacks. Why do you keep saying it? Brother Childers would do that. And then eventually, somebody that had a problem with him would just leave and he'd drop the whole subject. I've seen it. He'd come in here, and we know it. This ain't something that we got to hide. We know that he'd come in here and say, blacks are the laziest group of people. And he'd be sitting there like, my goodness. You turn the church over to a black man. Blacks are the laziest. You married a black woman. Blacks are the laziest. And he would come in here saying he's the hardest working person I ever met. Brother Moore is the hardest working person I ever met. And then the next breath, blacks are the laziest people. And you'd be like, what is going on? And that unbeliever that would sit there, he wouldn't hear anything good he said about Sandy. Wouldn't hear anything good he said about Pastor Moore. Wouldn't hear anything else. He'd be like, blacks are lazy. Blacks are lazy. He don't like blacks. I'm like, I don't think that's the case. And as a believer, I'm just sitting here going, Lord, you're going to have to work it out. I don't know why he's turning up so hot in here. He's not offending me. This is not bothering me at all. Keep saying it. It don't matter to me. You're bringing the words of eternal life. Where else can I go? Who else has the words of eternal life? I can't go nowhere else. And it didn't matter to me. I was like, I don't even care if you don't like blacks. It don't matter. That was even bigger. That's even bigger. It didn't even matter. I was like, I don't care what you like or don't like. Keep bringing the word. Keep bringing me the word. You know what? When you get to that point, you're not even looking at flesh anymore. When you get to that point, I'm not looking at flesh anymore. That's how the believer can just stay with the word, because that's the only thing I'm following. Oh, I don't care about your occupation. I don't care where you hunt. I don't care what you drive. I don't care about any of those things. Bring me the word of God, and that's all I'm here for. But there's another group of people that hear that and go, blacks, 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 blacks. That's all he talks about. And I'm like, that can't be all he's talking about. That man is the most revelated person we've ever met in our life. He's able to go through the Bible and quote all the books of Brother Branham. God had to reveal this to that man. He has a ninth grade education, and he can quote chapter and verse of every book. That's a revelation. God had to talk to that man. He's able to preach in front of 400 ministers and not be questioned one time. He's been right since 78, and you just got here in 93? He's wrong? I don't think so. I don't think so. Brother Children was right for a long time. Amen. And this church has been right for a long time. Amen. We don't need anybody else's idea on how to run a church. We don't need anybody else's idea on what it takes to keep a church good to go. You know, I got one more scripture here, but I think about this. You know, I work for this guy, and he's been doing this for 17, 18 years. Construction stuff. Probably longer. I could barely change a light bulb. You know how foolish it would be to go in there on the job, 2 days into work, and go, you know, I think we're digging those footers a little deep. 4 feet's going to take our guys a long time. You know, we save a little bit of money if we just go 1 foot down. Maybe put it just on the block and put a little stud in the middle of it. I'd look stupid, right? To anybody that knows anything about construction, day one construction, they'd be like, you can't build a house on blocks with that. It needs to go down. You got to get those footers down. It's got to handle the weathers and swelling and blah, 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 blah. It's got to be able to hold that weight. But that's how you sound. When you come into something that's been right for this long, with any idea, any idea. Oh, I should run my home. Like, no, be quiet. We've got successful homes that have been running for 40, 50, 60 years. Don't need you to add anything to this. Oh, I think I should handle my job, but be quiet. Don't even bring it up. You've not even been in here long enough to ask the right question, to even get the answer that you want. Just sit still for a little bit. Let God reveal what he needs to reveal to you, and you'll just get smarter from sitting down and being quiet. Amen. Than to come with your ideas about what it should be. You know, when they went to the upper room, all they knew was that God was going to show up. That's it. How? I don't know. What time? I don't know. How? What time of the day? It doesn't matter. I know he's going to show up. That's what it is when I come in here. Yes. Who preaches? I don't care. When they're going to start preaching, it don't matter. If you want to cut song service off and preach, then do song service, it don't matter to me. You want to have a visitor? So what? You want to preach from here? So what? You want to preach from this mic? So what? I come in here to hear the word of God. That's what I came here for. You want to preach for 4 hours? Thank God. You want to preach for 15 minutes? I'll take everything I can get. I come in here open, ready to receive the word of God in whatever fashion he wants to give it to me. This is my upper room. Amen. I'm coming here to be a like mind, one accord, to get the word of God so I can handle tomorrow. Yesterday took care of itself. I made it now. I need what I need for tomorrow. Give me my marching orders for tomorrow. Help me to have a good spirit about tomorrow. Help me to deal with this world tomorrow. I come in here for just a little bit of refuge, a little bit of a sanctuary that I can serve God, pray with God, and fellowship with God. And I'm expecting to meet him here. And I praise God that he showed up. That's what I'm really excited about. That's the manifestation part that Brother Don Dessler was saying. That he showed up. Oh, it was great to wait for him. It was great to know he would show. But when he finally showed up, oh, that's when the wind and the things started to shake. That's when it changed a little bit. That's when the revelation really came down and struck him that now what Jesus had promised him had been revealed for sure. Now nobody can take it away from him. While they were waiting, up in doubt on how it was going to look. While they were waiting, didn't know what it was going to look like when he showed up. But when he showed up, now they can tell the story and all be telling the same thing. It came like a mighty rushing wind. This happened. The pillar of fire was on all of us. That's us. It's not just on one person. We're not looking at a picture and saying pillar of fire is on just that man. It's all licks of fire on each and one of us. Amen. Oh, now we're all filled with the Holy Ghost. We all have that spirit of truth, to know spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We can all see that. I praise God that we get this understanding. I praise God that he makes it so simple. Don't overcomplicate this thing. It's just simple. God has revealed this thing to us such that babes will be able to pick this up. Oh, I love what God does for us. You know, it's looking at all these different things, looking at all these different scriptures, and all I can think about is the fact that I'm one of them. You know, we sing that song, I'm one of them, and that just gets me every time because it's like, no, you know, people didn't think I could make it. I didn't think I could make it. I didn't think I had what it took. But every time they squeezed, God just came out. Amen. Every time I went through a situation, God just came out. Every time the word was presented across my path, whenever the word test was presented, anytime I got a word test, I'm 100% on every word test that I've ever taken. Even the pop quiz ones, even the ones that I study for, the ones I don't study for, I get A+ on every single word test I get. Every time the word comes across my path, I don't care whether I'm good or bad or in the middle. I don't care whether you call me in the middle of the night or the middle of the day. When I get the word test, all I say is amen. So when I look back on all my word test papers, all I see is 100%, 100%, 100%. I have no room for error on that. God has never led me wrong. Never. I 100% agree with the word every time it comes across my path. And, you know, sometimes we say, even if I can't live up to it, there's going to be tons of things I'll never live up to that I put expectations for myself on. These are things that I want to do. My desire is to do them. For whatever reason, I may never live up to them. But that doesn't stop me from agreeing with the word. That doesn't even stop me from saying that if it's something I do is wrong, it's wrong. That's even what that woman said to Brother Branham. She said, Brother Branham, I do things that I know is wrong. She's talking to the prophet. He has the power of discernment. I'm glad she didn't lie. Brother Branham, I only do things that I know are good. I've been Ananias and Sapphira. Lying to the Holy Spirit. Lying to the Holy Spirit. She was talking to a prophet. She knew he had the power of discernment. She came honestly. Brother Branham, I do things that I know are wrong. That's a godly little woman. God sees the desires of your heart. That's what he sees here. He sees the desire of my heart. My desire is to do all that pleases the Father. And I do all that pleases the Father. Because I don't even want Satan to have an inch of any. I don't want him to think he got me on anything. Everything I do, God figures out a way to bless me on it. If I find myself in a hospital, he'll find a way to bring some nurses my way. If I find myself in a jailhouse, he'll find some way to bring a correction officer that's good to me. If I find myself in the unemployment line, he'll let me get through the line quicker than everybody else. If I find myself in the Social Security line, he'll find a way to bless me with that. He finds a way to bless me in all that I do. Every situation that I go through, God is finding ways to bless me over and over and over and over again. He always blesses me. I look back on my life and I see just blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. And even with the situations that he puts me in, all it does is get me better prepared. I get stronger and stronger. But whether it's your home life, your work life, all those different things, you just get built more and more and more. And that's what happened to those people, that the 120. While Jesus was walking with them, he built their faith more and more and more. So that when he wasn't on the scene, character kicked in. Integrity kicked in. Belief kicked in. When he wasn't even there, they still followed the directions. When he wasn't standing with them, when he wasn't walking with them, when they couldn't poke his side and see the sores, when they couldn't poke his hand and see the holes, they still followed it. See, some of these people in this church world, Brother Brandon wasn't standing over them, they wouldn't follow him. If he didn't follow him home, they couldn't listen to him. If Brother Childers didn't follow him home, they wouldn't listen to him. If Pastor Moore doesn't follow you home, you don't listen to him. He don't need to be here for us to keep having church. He don't need to be sitting in the service, standing over you, watching you, and make sure you say amen. There should be something on the inside of you that agrees with the word regardless of who's preaching it. Whoever brings it, you're sitting there saying, you're giving it the word test every time. You give me the word test, I give you the word test. I'm saying, did you get that right? Oh, okay. We're self-checking ourselves. Teacher's reading off the answers, and number two was B. We're all like, yep, that's exactly right. You're right. You're right, teacher. That is the right answer. I know what I know. I know 2 + 2 = 4. So if you say any other number, that's even what Paul said. He said, if any other angel, even if it came from heaven, brings you another message. This is how powerful he was. He basically saying, if Jesus Christ himself came down there and told you another message other than what I'm telling you right now, let it be a curse. That's how much he was ready for the word test. He knew what he knew. He had the goods. We know what we know. You shouldn't be so easily deceived and confused out here. You get the goods every service. You have friends in here that you can reach out to that'll uplift you, encourage you, and point you right back to the word. That's really what your friends should do. If you're going through something, they should lift you up and point you right back to the word. If you're going through something, your head's looking the wrong way. Let's point you towards Jerusalem, so to speak. Let's get you looking at the blessings. Let's focus on what God has already done for you. Let's start talking about what God has already done for you. Let's get that negative talk out of your mouth. Let's talk about all the blessings that God has already done for you. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray about this situation like believers. And then we're going to get back to the house so God can give us some more instruction on how to get through. That's what a friend should do for you. That's why I say when you're serving God with a friend or a spouse or loved one, a brother or sister or whatever, you're blessed. Amen. You're so blessed, and none of us are alone. None of us are alone. Amen. We give you a church directory. Come on now, talk about how blessing that is. You get a church directory. If you really cared how Sister King was doing, you could find her number. Send her a message. How you doing, Sister King? How you doing tonight? You could send that. Sister Don, you heard about Sister Don going to something? You can send her something, and they welcome it. Every now and again, I got a little text, something from a friend here in the church, and I'm like, man, that's a blessing. It just came from the sky. They don't even know I was having a bad day. They don't know I was dealing with something. They don't know I just got yelled at for parking in the wrong spot. And you got Lowe's got the contractor entrance, and sometimes I don't be parking over there, and all the guys come out with all the drywall, and they're like, where are you at? I'm like, give me 1 second. Got to bring the truck around, right? But that's just a little mistakes. But then I sit there in my car and I get a little text saying, Brother Jay, I appreciate your testimony the other day. And I'm like, oh, that's right. Amen. This ain't my real job. Amen. This ain't what I'm really here to do. I park the truck in the right place every time I'm in here. I bring the word of God every time I come in here. This is my real job. We get the word out every single time in here. This is my real job. This is what I'm really here to do. This is what I'm really called to do. This is really what we're all here for. We were built for this very hour. We're the only people that can go into the upper room and wait and tarry and wait on the Lord. He's the one. We're the ones that he gave the promise to.
That's right.
Oh, I praise God for all this. I praise God for everything that he brings to us. I look forward to Easter services. God bless you, Brother Jeremiah.
Amen. I enjoyed that. I really like that. We have an A+ in here. We're 100% on the word test. Because, you know, you're exactly right. When we say examine yourself, we know who we are. And we know that we passed that word test. And we're resting in that.
Amen.
And we know we're ready for the journey. And I was thinking as he was preaching in the upper room, and I thought, man, that's a good topic. But I like how he brought the promise because, you know, it's a little bit like because you are sons. That's good, but you want to be a manifested son. And it's good he gave the promise, but you want it to manifest, right?
Amen.
And that is nothing like the manifestation of it. And the Bible says, he who endures to the end, the same will be saved.
Amen.
And that'll be us each and every time. And then, you know, I'll give you a funny story. I was probably 21, 22, barely preaching,
still learning. You know, like anything, you don't know until you know, until God shows it to you, you know? And I remember around here, we'd been preaching about loved ones, taking your loved ones. I was a young, excited preacher, thrilled about it. And I saw that scripture about where Jesus breathed on the disciples. And in my excitement, you know, I was just thinking, well, that shows you that some ways, these traditional ways people think people got to be saved, God can save you a lot of different ways, you know? And I just wanted to tie that in, that God can save a loved one even if they don't get on this side, you know? And I remember Brother Schultz sitting on the front row, because I was able to amen pretty quick tonight, because he quickly pointed out that was just a promise. Because, you know, I was using the scripture in the wrong way.
Right.
And it is, that was a promise. And it didn't come to manifestation until they got to the upper room. And you know, you learn that as a preacher, you got to know that the scripture you're using it in the right reference, in the right frame of mind. Because you can read something that sounds good, but until God gives you the real revelation on it, you know, you don't preach it. That was just a lesson learned to me in my journey, you know. But I knew that tonight when you read that scripture, I thought, hey, I know what that is. You know, I'm typically a pretty quick learner. You give me one time, I'm ready the next. But I really enjoyed that, Brother James. I was, as always, your fireball preachers, always good preaching. Remember Pastor Moore? He's probably getting done or still preaching down in South Carolina. And we're glad to get him home. And looking forward to that. And the next Wednesday, Brother Kobe's supposed to be bringing somebody. So we're looking for that. And then, you know, I know they made the announcements, but just keep May 5th Sunday in your mind, because we're going to go visit Bluffton, the True Word Tabernacles, I think is the name of the church. Pastor Lawson, that's where Brother Kobe and them go. So we can, those that can make it, we can see where they're coming from. It'll be a good time. And then Easter's coming up, so remember those things. And come on, musicians. I do enjoy, I'm not going to sing it, but I enjoy that we are standing on holy ground and bring those new verses. Those are some really, really, really good, good verses. Go ahead.
I just want to identify with the body. I don't want anyone doubting me. I just appreciate being here. The Lord is just working through my life. Starting school officially April 29th. I'm excited about that, but I'm not excited about the payments that I'm making. And it's a little bit more than I'm expecting, but when I was in that meeting with my financial advisor, it just didn't even take a second for me to think, but I was like, you know, God's going to take care of it. He's going to provide. And they're like, amen, amen. And I'm like, yes, he will. And I'm just thankful that I'm here. And I was supposed to work tonight too. And thankfully it just worked out where they took me off the schedule. And typically you'd be kind of hurt about it, but I'm like, no, thank you. I'm able to come here. So anyway, just thankful to be here.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. The
You're dismissed.